Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
You want a sneak peek into the financial vacation for smart people? This next 30 minutes is crucial. Hello, everybody. This is Jake Sanzio, host Jake and Gino podcast, with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbo. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing great, but I hear that you've had a rough week. It's Friday in the afternoon. You're ready to plug away, but then you got to see Johnny D's on as a guest today, and you're like, I'm ready to go. Rough week today, huh, bro?
Dude, what the hell are you talking about? I never have a rough week. I'm the kind of man that other men want to be. I don't have emotions. I don't have rough weeks. I kick down bleeping doors, Gino. Today's guest is a successful entrepreneur, philanthropist, and author who has delivered educational and motivational presentations throughout the world. But today, he's here with us to kickstart our Multifamily Mastery 5 Speaker Spotlights. I like that alliteration. So without further ado, Johnny Dessauer, welcome to the show.
I love it. Thank you for having me. Oh, what a great beginning. You guys going back and forth, you know, you're ready. Obviously, you're ready for anything. Gino, I think you already know that, but it's a pleasure to be here as always. I think I'm a 5-timer, at least a 4-timer. So I made the 4-timer club. So I'm excited about that.
John, I'm sorry if it, we got into it. It's just we're passionate guys and we want to make sure we're bringing it every day. So no fear there. But we do have some things to talk about today. Mm-hmm. And you've had an amazing multifamily career, super investor, thousands of apartments. And I want to hear from you a little bit about your investing over the past 2 years and your outlook for the remainder of 2022.
Yeah. So first of all, you know, a lot of things, when you say 2 years in 2022,
I mean, we got alliterations and twos and deuces.
Everybody has a story of the last 2 years of 2022, you know, what has happened with COVID and the world and business and investing and, you know, everything. I think that it's been an interesting time. And to be honest with you, I've sat on the sidelines a little bit, especially the last 18 months, where I felt like things were getting a little frothy on a lot of different aspects. I don't think anybody experienced or expected what would happen with real estate investing and other business areas when COVID hit. I thought everybody thought the world's going to shut down and it's over, baby. It's over.
Well, it did for a minute, that's for sure. So.
It did, but everything got more, it was busier, it was healthier. It was like, you know, the government's coming in and pumping a ton of money and just, you know, it was a very interesting and still is a very interesting time. And it was almost like sitting on the sidelines, having a little popcorn, watching the movie is kind of what I felt like. So that's kind of what I've been doing, like at least the last 18 months. But what I do know about real estate investing and in my 20 some years of doing this, it's a cycle and, you know, what goes around comes around and I'm watching this thing and I'm ready. Like, I'm so excited about this time where other people might be fearful. This is the time as professionals to come out and start being active and busy and productive.
So how do we start doing that, John? How do we start getting active, being busy and taking those steps that we should be taking right now?
Yeah, the key word is opposite. Everything that you're hearing on the media, do the opposite. Yes. While they're saying, don't do this because interest rates are going up, or don't do this because the economy is going into a recession, they're almost telling you, stay dormant. It's going to be fine. You will outpace everybody if you hustle and get your activity on and start making phone calls, and all of that busyness, productive busyness, is going to get you ahead. That's how you're going to take advantage of what's happening right now. These times were meant for the pros. You want to be a pro? Now's the time to shine.
Hey, Jake, do you mind if I share a story? I know you're not big into the emotions, but maybe I can share a story that really heightens what John's talking about. Would you give me the mic for a minute?
You so much, man. Whatever you want to do, buddy.
And this is important because when COVID hits, the story is we're at a quarterly meeting. And we told our coach not to discuss what was happening. So what did he do? He did the complete opposite and went to fear mode. Needless to say, as all you on
this
YouTube.
This was a systems and scale coach for people. We had a systems and scale coach in the house that day in the office. Yeah.
And everyone was fearful. But the only thing that pulled me through COVID really was the Jake and Gino community. In July of 2020, we had our first event. Everyone shut down. I remember walking in Knoxville, Tennessee, downtown. It was pretty empty. But we had 70 students at that Manage Right boot camp. And that
we
was
looked
the
like
difference.
A cult.
That
everyone
was the difference.
We were the only ones. Yeah.
and people hugging together. And the next event in September, same thing, 100 people. And it kept going on and on. And I think for us, being together and being in these communities has allowed us to get through this. I don't want to say unscathed, but I see a lot of the people in the community are still doing deals. And now they're poised because they've done all of the work for the last year, year and a half, not listen to the media, not listen to all the nonsense. And what they're doing is they're following Buy Right, Manage Right, Finance Right. They're following the three pillars of real estate, and they're networking. They're getting out there and staying busy. So, John, how do people... When you hear that, what do you say to that average investor out there who's still hesitant, saying, you know what, the sky's still falling. I still don't believe in real estate. I'm afraid of these rates going up.
Yeah, it'll be the same storyline that a lot of people have heard when they did the same thing in 2008. Like, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And, you know, I say that a lot, but look at the people that said, man, I wish I would have bought in 2009, 2010, 2011. Those were the times to take action and look at the results that those people had. So I think that that's what's going to happen here. The media has a way of programming this thought process of stay dormant. The sky's falling. We're not going to make it. And those people are going to stay. Matter of fact, it's going to present more opportunities for solution providers like ourselves. So if you're fearful in providing solutions to help people, you're probably not going to have a good investing career. But if you take the opposite result, you're a doctor, you're a real estate doctor, and you need to help people that are sick real estate. And that's where you're going to make the most progress. That's the time now. We have more sick people coming in real estate coming in the next probably 3 years, 36 months than we did over the last 10 years.
And to really piggyback off of John's point, we started doing boot camps and internal events at Jake and Gino back in 2018. And I remember everyone predicting the high of the market. The high is here. 2019, the high is here. 2020.
I was saying it in 2016.
And I'm not gonna criticize you, Jake. But the reality is everyone thought we were at a high. Now the tables have turned and the economy, and we might be in a recession. So now all of a sudden everyone's saying, well, I can't invest now because we're going into recession. So for those of you out there, check yourself and be honest with yourself. You want to get into one of the best businesses, one of the best vehicles. How do you do that? You have to check your limiting beliefs, and you have to start when you're ready. Now is the time to start. John, you were at MM4. You did an amazing job talking about MM4. What did you like about that event more than anything else? What stood out to you at that event? Other than the high-level people that were there, hundreds of millions of dollars of people doing deals, raising money for deals, the networking. What did you enjoy about that event?
There's one word, it's energy. And I remember thinking, first of all, when I back up, and I think I was one of those guys too, I thought 18 months ago, this is the high. There's no way this is the high. I'm going to lay out back off. But then as I went through that time period, got to MM4 and start to think about the energy that was there and understand what type of energy it was. It wasn't this fearful energy. And that's why community is so important. It was this vibrant energy that, you know, do one more. How do we do more in the face of, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on, a pandemic and, you know, world crisis and all this stuff. And that's what motivated me to kind of take a second look and say, okay, let's readjust here. Let's now go in and approach this market a little bit differently. And it was really good. I'm expecting much more of that in at MM5, of course, but that's what I experienced at MM4. And that's what I, look, we've had conversations how tough it was to break apart people that were just synergizing together. Remember having those conversations? Like, man, they were just in-depth strategy conversations on here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do right now. And the whole team was there. And that was what I took away from MM4, the biggest part.
And it was really funny because that event was very hard to get people to come to initially because COVID was still shut down. We ended up getting over 900 attendees at that event. And what I loved about it, like you said, the energy, but just getting back to the normalcy. And can you talk a little about MM5? Because you've been really instrumental in putting this fifth event together. We've gone from MM1, everybody, to 150 people in Knoxville in 2017 to MM5, where we're expecting over 1,000 people. And what I love about it, before you answer the question, because I loved the value that you've been able to provide to the community, because now it's buy right, manage right, finance right. But let's talk about the speakers we have there and the other stuff that we're going to be learning there, because I think that's important. You need the framework. But now once you have the framework, we want to give you other tools to become successful in this business.
Yeah. You know, by the way, it's been a pleasure doing this because I got to see the fabric of the community and kind of see what they not only want, but where they're going. You know, there's a whole ecosystem within the community itself. In MM4, we had Luke Wren that did such a great job. He was the definition and foundation of this energy that I'm talking about. And I would be remiss if I didn't speak about him coming to MM5 first, because he just brought the thunder at MM4.
Brought the pain.
It was unbelievable. Like walked out, I was behind the stage when he was doing this thing on stage and having the crowd do what they do. I thought we were going to have to call some emergency services because people were going to have grabber in the audience. That's how unbelievable the hype, but it wasn't hype that was fake. It was hype that was, it was really true to everybody that was a part of that. He's coming back, and that was our must-have foundational person to come back because of what he did at MM4 and what he's got planned in the storyline of what he's done since MM4. I'll give you a little hint. Him and his girl climbed Mount Everest, the tallest peak in the world. Now, she summited. He didn't summit. He's got a whole storyline behind that, but you do not want to miss that story. You talk about motivation. That guy brings it, and he's going to bring it again at MM5.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the brand, right? Let's talk about that component that, you know, we're not big syndicators out there, but we think creating a brand for your company and to be able to speak to brokers and to be able to speak to investors and to be able to speak to vendors is so important. Who have we brought on as part of that brand right frame of the framework?
Yeah. So let me just throw on a question out to the audience. I know we have a lot of listeners on here. What would it be like? What would it look like if you could learn firsthand from somebody within a 12-month period, within 365 days, sold products and services, sold $1.5 billion? I'm not talking a career. I'm talking within a 365-day period. What would it be like to learn from somebody like that? And that's exactly what we did. We went out and brought a person that is sold $1.5 billion worth of real estate. And that's Ryan Serhant. And you might know him from Million Dollar Listing New York. You might know him from Sell It Like Serhant. But this guy is an incredible salesperson, and it's defined by his brand. And he's bringing that knowledge of how you can brand yourself as a real estate investor on the commercial side, especially going into where we are now, like taking advantage of the market where it's going. Your brand is going to be so important. And it looks like it's almost the fourth pillar, Jake, of what the foundation is here, the framework.
Listen, you sound like a general manager right now putting together the all-star team. He's like, I went out there. He's like the Bills. I got Von Miller. Okay, I went out and got a wide receiver. I got Ryan Serhant. It's pretty impressive. I know what you're doing here. I get it. I see what you're doing here.
That's not, you don't even know our starting pitcher, like our day one opening day starting pitcher. Like there's all kinds of people we got coming at you.
Yeah.
You know what's great about this? So Jake and I had the honor, I would say, of interviewing Alex and Layla Hormozi. And for those of you that don't know who Alex and Layla are, go to the Jake and Gino site, go listen to them on our podcast. And Alex is a super high level achiever. He's built over $100 million, you know, net worth in 5 or 6 years. He's 31 years old. He's so successful. And when he talks about, he's had the epiphany himself. He said, brand is your biggest ROI. He actually shared a story with us that he was depressed when he found out that Kylie Jenner at the age of 20 became a billionaire. So he's like, I'm running around trying to build these businesses, and she did it through brand. Now, a guy like that studies brand and is actually increasing his brand. So when John was talking about getting Ryan Serhant to come out to our event, I'm like, this is what our community needs, because when you're raising money for a deal, you want people to know who you are. Mm-hmm. When you're repositioning a property, you want to be able to reposition a property correctly. When you're
brand speaking, it properly.
When yes. you exactly. When you're speaking to a broker, you want the broker to know that you're on social media. And how do you use social media? Ryan does a fantastic job of using Instagram and all of his other formats and all of his other social media sites. How do you use that? It's really, really important to continue to build that brand. And for us, we had the epiphany on that show because I was always struggling with it. I'm like, well, brand costs you more money. It takes more time, but we're in this for the long term. Jake is always talking about doing things and buying deals in decades. Why not build your brand and think about your brand in decades?
Yeah, branding is almost like the clothing you wear, right? You have your skeletal system, you got your brain, you got your heart, but your brand is the clothes you wear and how people take notice, right? And I'm not a clothes person. The beauty's here, Tate.
We'll get you there. We'll get you there.
But you know, the brand is so important because that's how people take notice. And in you know, I just wonder how many investors, real estate investors, kind of put that down the priority list rather than have it, you know, in the top four.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Anyone else you can think of? I know we've got Julius Thomas out there. We got the guy right behind my shoulder over here.
This Rob guy that's going to show up and sing with Gino, but I don't know how much we can do that.
Yeah, we could talk about
Julius Thomas, NFL Super Bowler, Pro Bowler. You know, I think it's important how athletes think about investing because they've certainly done it on the field. But, you know, what is the motivation that it took to get him to that level? It's all about getting to the next level. So you're going to hear from him. You're going to hear from Pace, as you just mentioned, Gino. I think Pace is a wonderful person to talk about, you know, the subject to game and how you can translate that to commercial. A lot of people don't even think about that, but that's a great strategy to be able to do that, especially in the market in which interest rates are going up. What a wonderful strategy that is. But yeah, you mentioned somebody, this guy named Rob, that is going to be attending. Let me paint a little picture for you. Rob was a music sensation in the 90s, and he wore colorful clothing. You talk about branding, colorful clothing, a dancer. You know, everybody knew this guy's name. His name's Vanilla Ice, for those of you that know who I'm talking about. And in as big of a career he had, everybody around the world could recognize that brand of Vanilla Ice. But as big a career as he had, this guy is a fantastic real estate investor. Not only is he going to be at MM5, not only is he going to be talking about his real estate investing career, but he's also going to be performing amongst other people. And I don't want to give it away, Jake. I'll let you steal that thunder. But he's going to be performing in a real intimate setting. That's the other benefit of getting your ticket early and getting in that, because I don't know how much room is there, but he's going to intimate performance there. But it's going to be fantastic. This guy's phenomenal.
Yeah, I want to bring up something too, Gina, that's really important, because you mentioned Pace Morby a second ago. And, you know, people sometimes poo-poo seller financing and some of these creative financing strategies. On our fifth deal, Gino and I did a 300 unit owner finance transaction, and we were in good shape by that point. We had a couple hundred units. We were feeling really good, but that really accelerated us. So folks, I don't want you to sleep on this stuff, especially if you, you know, end up in a market that's, you know, declining or a slight downturn. There's going to be more appetite for these types of transactions.
And Jake, to finish the point that John's making, I think what's really cool about all of our guests, they're all in the multifamily space or in the real estate space. You know, Julius Thomas, good friend of mine, he's buying multifamily right now. He's down in South Florida. Pace is a sub two guy. And, you know, Ryan is selling real estate. And I think they all see the value in multifamily. They're all trying to figure a way how to get into multifamily, whether that's actually direct ownership, whether that's raising capital, whether that's buying deals themselves. They want to see the value in it. And they're like, you know what? I need to get part of it. So I like the lineup from my perspective that it's so broad and we have so many different people in different spaces in real estate, which is, for me, that's the allure. Because Jake always talks about it, it's this pie in the sky. And you're starting sub two. And that's what's going on, John. Right? If you want to speak to what you think is going to happen, I guess, the next 6 to 12 months, we're seeing debt pulling back a little bit. We wrote the book Creative Cash with our coach, Bill Hamm, and talking about creative financing. I think that's why Pace is going to be able to add a lot of value to our presentation, to our weekend there.
Yeah, debt's definitely changing. You know, that 10-year treasury, I look at that, it's just over 3 again, or very close to it. And, you know, the Fed with the benchmark rate, all of these things are affecting what's going on. But if you can arm yourself as an investor and have all these tools like subject to, like seller financing, like you guys just mentioned, you're going to be able to help more people that are going through the challenges, like people that don't know these strategies. They have to sell that 18 unit because they have to get out from under it. They're bad property managers, or they're not using a good third party. All of these things are going to be able to give you the ability to outpace any competition you would have, but really like land those cash flowing assets by using you. So all these things that we don't normally talk about, subject to, seller financing, things like that, wraparound mortgages, there's all kinds of creative ways that are used a lot on the single family side, but only the experts, only the pros use these on the multifamily side. And that's why you want to get to MM5.
John, before we go to the short answers, I know you own assets in multiple states. What markets are you looking at? Where do you like the investing right now?
Yeah, I like the Midwest. I saw a report. I put it on my social media on Facebook. I don't know if people saw it, but Indiana, we're in the top 5 or 6, I believe it's 6 states in the country that is getting an import of people moving in to a surplus. There are states that are having more export, right? So Florida may be one of those. Texas is another one. Indiana, where I live, is another one. And so I like the Midwest. I like the Midwest because of several reasons. The cost is still relatively lower to some other markets. You guys are a lot in the Southeast. I think you saw that cost situation over the last couple of years. We're still a little bit lower. And the other thing is that supply demand. If you have that demand for rental units and that's continuing to increase, I think that's a good position to be in as we're getting into this market of a little bit higher debt cost and cost of money and a cap rate that may not be compressing as fast, a cap rate that might be staying stagnant or going the other way. So I like the markets in which you have an influx of people that's causing a higher demand and that demand is outpacing supply.
All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Get involved in multifamily, this is where you need to be.
The team you've built is incredible.
There is no egos here. Everyone is always looking to help the other person.
All right, we are back. Now, there's some interesting debt options available to folks in 2021. One of the classics that has gone bye-bye, it's gone by the wayside, were these bridge loans at 80% loan to cost. Do you see those potentially, you know, 2022, 2023 becoming buying opportunities in the near term?
There's no doubt about it. The debt that was attached to properties and projects, as those renew, you know, as those age and mature, they have to refi them. And a bridge loan is a shorter loan, sometimes called a mezzanine loan, where it's going to have an ending point. If that ending point ends and the sponsors of that deal or the operators of that deal don't have the financial wherewithal to get refinanced, or maybe the fundamentals from a financial standpoint of the project has decreased, cap rate, net operating income, all kinds of factors there, they're going to have a problem. That's a perfect time for someone that's armed with these strategies to come in, deploy some capital, and pick up that asset at a discount to market.
Any other opportunities that you're kind of sitting back and waiting to see come about besides potentially the bridge loans, John?
Yeah, I like the, we just mentioned PACE, but I like the subject to side of the market, especially with some of the way that this debt has been structured. You've got to look at, you know, if the debt is structured at a low interest rate, coming in and absorbing or assuming that debt could put you in a really good position, especially if you can raise a little capital on the equity side. But if you can get a large piece of that debt that's at a lower interest rate, that debt becomes valuable in the marketplace. Not a lot of people are thinking about that. Again, why would you go get new debt at an interest rate of 4 or 5 when you can get debt that's already in place at 3, right? And so I'm starting to think about that. I'm also looking at properties in which the cap rate, the debt was higher than the cap rate. So the debt's at 4%, but you know they bought the thing at a 3.5 cap, which would be pretty expensive. I'm looking at those opportunities to come through in the next 18, 36 months that I think are going to be opportunities for people to take advantage of.
Yeah, very, very interesting there. You know, I think the other thing too to look at is if you're a current operator and you have some really good debt in place, maybe with a community bank at 3.5%, but you've gone in and repositioned it, keep that debt in place, but maybe get a little off the table with a supplemental, a very similar strategy to what John's talking about, but more on the refi side of things. You don't want to lose that really good debt that you have, but maybe you want to pull a little off the table. So I think a supplemental lends itself to be an opportunity there as well.
Here's the other thing that's important with that. When you place debt and it's at a low interest rate, again, that becomes valuable in the marketplace.
That's an asset.
Yeah. It's an asset in and of itself. You may not even need to go out and get supplemental debt. How about just bringing in an equity partner that's looking to place some money to get a good return because they're not getting it on the stock market. They're not getting it in their 401k or self-direct. There's all kinds of ways you can do that. But
did you just raise your hand as a money man?
Yes, I did. Let's go.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
That's what I mean. There's so much opportunity when what's coming at us. It's not the time to be dormant. It's the time to be active. Right.
Completely agree with that. And so we're all about our buy right criteria. We talk about similar things that you've mentioned. We like to see population growth. We like business friendly climates. Even as simple as we love 2-bedroom units. We love townhomes. Okay. These are the types of things that we're looking for. So in your opinion, and where you're looking in Indiana and other markets, what makes a great deal to you right now? What are some of these buying parameters that you're looking for?
Yeah. First, I love, and you guys play along this theme very, very well. I love mom and pop owners. Not only can you go in and probably find a mom and pop owner that hasn't focused on driving NOI of that asset, but they follow rules that have been passed down from maybe their parents or relatives in that.
Very true.
Hey, don't raise rents because you're going to have tenants that are going to move out, right? And they don't understand that dynamic between net operating income and cap rate and market cap rate. And so I like that. That's a buying parameter that we always look at. The second thing is I want to make sure that when I'm buying an asset, the physical things that I need to do to that asset are going to play along with driving NOI. In other words, we had a building, one of my first lessons, I bought a 48 unit property. It was two buildings, 224 units, and it was in a town called Merrillville, Indiana. This is early on in my career. At that point, I was doing aesthetic changes to the property and not having it translate into either higher income or lower expenses.
Were you planning on living there yourself?
I was not planning on living there. It wasn't.
Because that sounds like the kind of thing someone that's planning on living there would do. You know, that's
yeah,
the point
for
that I'm
sure.
making here. You know?
Yeah, for sure. But I was doing the same activity. I was like, we're going to put beautiful doors on this and you know, we're going to put these amenities in there. And if it doesn't translate into either higher income through higher rents or other things, or lower expenses, like driving down costs of your operational expenses, taxes, insurance, maintenance, management, utilities, all those things, I would not do that. So that's another parameter that I use today that when I'm looking at an asset to buy, what can I do to change the physicalness of the building, but at the same time, that has to translate into a higher income or lower expenses.
I think one of the most important things that I've taken away from this is that Gino's a multifamily expert. John's a multifamily expert. We have the entire buy right, manage right, finance right criteria that's created over 50 billion in transactions from the Jake and Chino community going to be on full display November 5th and 6th at the event. This is the kind of group you want to be a part of. If you're struggling with your family members or your immediate group of friends because you're not getting around like-minded people that see the value in this, I think this is your opportunity. You can go to jakeandgino.com/MM5 and get your ticket now. We're really excited. John's going to be there kicking down doors. Gino's going to be there. I'm going to be there. The whole crew is going to be there. We're excited to see you. And Mr. G-Father in the green today. Any final words?
You had mentioned your peer group. And I think I need to reiterate this because that's when our career started taking off. Once we started creating the Jake and Gino community and we created our own peer group and you want to be around people who want to achieve. So don't go and ask your friend or your buddy or your brother if real estate's risky unless they've done deals. That's what really happens. Become part of a group that's done deals, that's doing deals, that wants to do deals. And that's why I think for us, MM4 was such a huge success. And that's why MM5 is just going to go right off of MM4's success.
Gino, can I add one thing to that?
Absolutely.
I think your peer group needs to be people that are better than you. You're going to come to MM5 and you're going to see apartment multifamily investors that are better than you. They're ahead of you. That's why you want to be with them, is because they've done things that you haven't done yet, but you're going to be able to take that synergy with them. Hang out with people that are much better than you. Your skills are going to get better by doing it. And there's not a better way to do that. MM5.
Well said, sir. Guys, this has been a blast. Really appreciate everyone's time. And we will see you in November.
Thanks, Johnny D.
Thank you.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's MIRO.com.